The Old Testament lesson for today begins in Exodus chapter 24, at verse 12, where we read about waiting for something big. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, and Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. In the gospel lesson from John in chapter 4, we read about Jesus and some frustrating waiting. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become to them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." The epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 5, where Paul talks about the benefit of waiting. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained mercy to his grace, in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." This is the word of the Lord. I can hardly wait. We have all said that. We say it about a special party that's coming up, start of a vacation, the delivery of a new whatever, the results of a job interview. I can hardly wait. Hardly waiting means impatiently, making it hard on others and on ourselves, because few of us like to wait for anything. And our culture is not good at waiting. We have instant on TV, instant digital pictures that we can email immediately to the grandparents. Now they're online. We have instant cash at over thousands of locations with just one card. And while none of that's bad, there's nothing wrong with convenience, it does lead us to think and feel that waiting is somehow a nuisance, undesirable, unnecessary, or just plain bad. But there are some things for which we just have to wait. They can't be hurried. We all know all too well we have to wait for spring, and we're still waiting. You can run off to Florida for a while, but that really doesn't hurry up spring's arrival here. We have to wait 9 months for a baby to be born, or longer to adopt one, and for such a recognized valued event as that, birth, adoption, it's worth the wait. Well, the season of Lent is a kind of organized, official waiting for Easter, just like Advent is waiting for Christmas. And while we don't like to admit it in our instant-on culture, there are still things for which we have to wait, and they are worth waiting for. An example of that is found in our Old Testament lesson where Moses is waiting for God. We could subtitle that "Getting Ready for the Big Event." Moses was waiting for God to deliver the tablets of stone on which he had written with his own finger, says Genesis, the Ten Commandments. It was 6 days before God said anything to Moses after telling him to come up on the mountain. So Moses had to wait. And when it finally did get started after 6 days of waiting, it took 40 days and 40 nights. And our first reaction to that is, I think Dennis can go through the Ten Commandments in about 45 seconds. Well, the results of that waiting, that retreat, was not, "Oh, look what we have here. It's the Ten Commandments." This was a revelation from God on how Moses was to direct the formation of a nation. And now we know that the Ten Commandments are so basic, they're found in all communities that try to live together and try to do it successfully. You just can't have people together without rules. And most of them can be traced back to the Ten Commandments. Moses and his people needed time to consider that big revelation from God that we call the commandments. God's revelations are not instant potato kind of religious experiences. Oftentimes it's hard study and deep thought and a quiet, open mind that's needed to understand what's going on, and that involves waiting. It involves taking time. How, for example, are we going to understand in a few minutes what takes great theologians years to grasp, the magnitude, theologically, socially, of the Ten Commandments? How do we expect to build on them without carefully and patiently considering? Look how long it took the church to recognize that slavery was wrong. Was the Apostle Paul wrong when he wrote, "Be a good slave"? No, not in that time and culture. But as God's revelation was waited upon, it grew until the whole world recognizes now the wrong and the evil of slavery and racism. Our Reformed Church has as its motto, "Always reforming according to the Word of God." Sometimes that involves waiting upon God and His Word for direction. That kind of waiting takes determined, patient, confident time. The gospel lesson shows us a different kind of waiting. Jesus is waiting for a drink of water. And as I said when I read that portion of the scripture lessons for today, we could entitle that an exercise in frustration. And that's another kind of waiting that all of us are used to. Jesus was tired. He was weary. The authorities were chasing him. He stopped to rest in a very public place because it was also a very safe place, and this was not friendly territory. And yet in true Middle East fashion, he asked for a drink and he expected it, because no person in that culture ever refused a basic request for water. Jesus had no rope and skin bucket to let down into the well. And so weary and tired and by himself, he asked, and he received nothing more than a smart remark. The Jews and the Samaritans were not on good terms. The woman at the well couldn't resist rubbing it in a little bit. By the way, if you want to see how Jesus gets even, yeah, he got even. Just read the rest of that portion and you'll see the end of that story. But for now, here was a Jew at her mercy, and she didn't have much mercy available. So Jesus had to wait. And even when he tried to explain to her who he was with a picture yet, living water, the only thing she did was say, well, good, then I won't have to come here to draw water anymore, will I? Now, all of that waiting had to be frustrating for a thirsty, tired, frightened Jesus. And you and I need to know that. We need to know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be us, who get weary and frustrated and frightened when we have to wait. We have to wait for such blessings as health. We have to wait for other people to see our side of the situation. We have to wait for other people to respond to reasonable requests. And we need to know that God knows. You ever notice how waiting for medical results seems to take so long? Now, we don't want hurry up or sloppy results, but the waiting's hard. Ever notice how long it takes children to recognize parents' wisdom or the boss to say thank you? When we realize that, we know that when Jesus says, come all you who are weary and heavy laden and waiting to get rid of that load, I will give you rest, then we know he knows. Another thing to notice here is there are no unnecessary miracles. No power for himself or the disciples while they're waiting and they're working and seeking and paying bills to accomplish the same results. No striking the rock when the woman could give him a drink. No stones turned into bread when the disciples were off to buy some. Same's true for us. Wishing for a better prayer life will not work. Praying will. Looking for God's presence in special signs, all the while ignoring thanksgiving for everyday graces, that's not going to reveal God. Dreaming that we can do great things for God and yet disobeying his commandments assures us that we will not accomplish his will because there are no unnecessary miracles. But when a miracle is needed, we can depend upon God. And the necessary miracle we are thinking about during Lent and waiting to celebrate is Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. There we're assured that God was in Christ and is reconciling the world to himself. And that world reconciliation includes personal salvation for anyone who accepts it. And it's in that very framework that we find Paul in our epistle lesson, waiting for glory. That's how I'd subtitle that. Look at the cycle. There is suffering, waiting something out. Yet, because of our salvation in Christ, we do wait. Waiting produces endurance. There's no such thing as instant endurance. It takes time to build it. And while that endurance is being developed, so is character. And character is what we need to face even more of life and its decisions and its waitings. And that leads to a confidence of faith that we dare to call Christian hope. And that hope will not disappoint us because it is hope in God's love, which we've already experienced in the gift of Jesus Christ. You see how the steps build upon one another? And it's not just a careless repetition. It's a reflection on how life is and how God designed it to work. So we Christians, we can wait. Not just hardly, impatiently, but faithfully. We can wait for comfort because we know it will come. That's a hard wait. We can wait for justice, knowing that God will settle his accounts in his time and his way. We can wait for life to be restored full and right, even fuller and more right than we've ever known it. We call that eternal life. Pity those poor folks who make the mistake of coming to church only on Christmas and Easter. They can't enjoy it as well because they never get their appetites whetted or prepared or ready. They can't know because they're not properly waiting and anticipating the full joy of salvation, the real peace of God, and an understanding of eternal life, and that it begins now. But we can know that because God calls us first to be ready and then to wait, like Moses. Even when that waiting is frustrating, as it was for Jesus himself. And to wait with the same kind of hope as the Apostle Paul himself, the kind of hope he had that sustained him. And in this way, we can and we must wait during Lent for the celebration of Easter. Just as we wait in life to find the blessings of God. When we're waiting for a loved one to see with eyes of faith what we see, when we're waiting for the return of health, or when we're waiting for some long, tedious battle between evil and good, which we can only watch from the sidelines, or however we are waiting for God's kingdom to come more fully, we can wait faithfully, more faithfully than before, because of the exercise of Lent, during which we're taught how to wait. Not hardly, as in I can hardly wait, but faithfully, as in that ancient prayer of the church, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. That's how we wait for Easter and for life. Let us pray. Send your Spirit among us, O God, as we ask you to assist our minds as we hear your word, and then move our hearts to accept what we hear. Purify our wills to obey with both joy and faith. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.